and it's wonderful. Paul started his address to the guys gathered on Mars Hill, do you remember the Areopagus in Athens, by quoting a pagan or a Stoic poet. And he says, you know, the one who in whom you live and move and have your being. He wasn't quoting the Old Testament, he was quoting something outside. And then he referred to an idol, in a sense, or a monument to the unknown God, which again was not a Christian thing, but he was working off of the culture. If you'll indulge me, I'm going to work off the culture a little bit here. If you look in the bulletin, you see the title of the thing is J.J. Didtai Buckle Surrounded by H, H and H. And you think, what in the world is that? Yeah, well, there it is. J.J. Didtai Buckle. By the way, just without reciting, does anybody know what that is just off the top of your head, J.J. Didtai Buckle? Oh, good. This will be fun. You'll learn something here. All right, and then the H on the outside. Well, this is actually, these are the principles of leadership that the Marines teach, and actually the Army teaches them too. We just didn't have that acronym. But let's just track through this, and I submit to you that they're pretty well connected to what we learn in Scripture as being valuable. So, by the way, if you follow this, then you will be honorary Marines, I think. I was in the Army. My son was in the Marines at Auburn. He was walking across the grass once in front of the Marine or the Navy ROTC building, and the gunnery sergeant, gunny, screamed at them, "Get off that grass, that's for Army and Air Force pukes." So that's when he learned his dad was a puke in the Army. But anyway, this is a Marine thing, and I like these. Just tracking through very quickly. One of the standards is justice. You've got the blindfold with the scales. The Bible talks about justice a lot of times. I just jotted these down off the top of my head. If we had time, we would just have you pitch in with some. But it let justice roll down like waters. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your Lord. That's a big standard. Judgment. Here's looking at the compass with the old codger, you know, and then here's a guy who is probably going to Johnny Knoxville's house for some something here. Judgment. The whole book of Proverbs is devoted to having judgment and wisdom. I would say wisdom is really what we're talking about. There's really no substitute for wisdom. Next. Dependability. Cal Ripken played forever and ever. He was one of the Iron Men in baseball, and then I don't know what type of vehicle this is, but this one is just not coming through. Dependability. Here we have, the Lord saying, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things, make you faithful in many or make you ruler over many. Initiative. Here is, I love that cat with the beer bottles there. But on the left, you've got Daniel Boone coming through the Cumberland Gap, showing initiative, not remaining in the comfort zones on the East Coast. And here's the cat. Well, initiative. Last week, by the way, thank you for indulging me. I had an old student of mine from Midwestern Seminaries pastoring the Colony First Baptist in the Dallas area by Frisco and Grapevine and that area. And anyway, we were working through, he was working through Acts, and I preached on Acts 13. And they get really beat up in Pisidian Antioch, and they're treated like dirt. And finally, they just shake the dust off their feet and move on to Iconium. And it says, and they moved out with great joy. And sort of like, oh, well, they didn't like our message. I guess we'll just eat worms and die, you know. No, they said, all right, saddle up. God's got something up here. So you just keep moving. By the way, Sun Tzu, one of the things we read in the Army was Sun Tzu's Art of War. And again, a pagan source, so to speak. But one thing he said about battle, it's like water running downhill. And if you have water running downhill and it hits a boulder, it doesn't go bonk. What does it do? It finds a way. It keeps going. It keeps going. And so we exercise initiative. Next, decisiveness. Here's this Red Bull guy jumping out of something way up in the stratosphere, like, get her done. You just said, let's do it. And then you got these guys on some kind of little velodrome just going around in circles and around in circles, and they just can't make a decision, and they're just trying to make sure everybody's happy, and they can turn a 10-minute meeting into an hour meeting. And as my father-in-law, who was the director of the Missouri Convention, said about a denominational agency head, whom I will not name, he couldn't organize a two-car funeral. You know, it's just like, make a decision. Decisiveness, you know, let your yes be yes, no, no. Whoever puts his hand to the plow and looks back, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, the scripture's like that. All right. Tact. you got to heat the thing, but a crock pot works better than a blowtorch. Okay, does that make sense to you? Fruit of the Spirit, you know, kindness, patience, this sort of thing. I mean, these are values. They're defaults. You didn't know the Marines would have this, did you? You just think of them barking. Integrity. Here are the people in the Circus Maximus facing the lions. Are you really Christians? And then you got a $3 bill, you know? And some people, you just can't trust them. They'll say whatever is convenient. There's not the real deal. By the way, I did have fun picking out these pictures. All right, enthusiasm. You got the Fonz. It's always thumbs up. And then, is this Debbie Downer or something from Saturday Night Live? You know, There's always someone who can, like, suck the life out of a room just by being a mope. And there's something to be said for just thumbs up, enthusiasm. So here we would have, wait, let's back up here. Someone's rushing me here. All right. I know this is exciting, but just catch your breath. Well, look, the joy thing and not under compulsion, we'll talk about that, but just cheerful, zealously. Let it be infectious. The Bible talks about this in a number of ways. Let's go to bearing. All right. It's kind of like the adult in the room. You know, I mean, God bless Barney, but, you know, Barney gets excited. He's got one bullet, and he's keeping it for saving it for something like that. And Barney, you know, love Barney. But he says, be Andy, okay? There's something to be said for having the adult in the room. Put away childish things. That's one of the scripture verses that comes to mind. And then we have unselfishness. I forget. I think this is Florence Nightingale. Maybe it's Clara Barton ministering to the people. And by the way, I mean, there are people who are in, Christians who are in Wuhan, China, who are going in to where this virus has done some real damage. And they're risking themselves. They're unselfish. They're not saying, this will be a good career move. Maybe let's do a selfie. I was there in Wuhan when it started. Therefore, I can now change. No, they're going in because people are hurting. That's a hard thing to find, actually, in the world and actually in ministry, too. And then you got Scrooge here, who is not unselfish. I think I said in the sermon that was the ghost of Bob Marley. It's actually, Bob Marley is with the Rastafarians. It's a different Marley. All right, let's go to the next one here. Courage. Mr. Smith goes to Washington, you know, standing in the well of the Senate or wherever he is, Jimmy. Just bringing it, you know, despite the power guys. And here's a rodeo clown just running out there to save the rider. And here's this guy just fainting dead away. Look, you got to have somebody who'll just say, bring it, you know, I'm here. Yeah. If you're gonna get at them, you're coming over me. Courage. Knowledge. Here's someone actually studying, and then here's someone just at the latest game. I don't know. I suppose you can have knowledge and do both, but I'm just representing these people. I really think it's actually getting worse as a teacher, having taught for decades. I think you used to could use, cite something, a reference from history or something like that, William the Conqueror or whatever, and they just, yeah, we heard that. You know? And now it's like, what? I mean, is that an app? Or, you know, it's just, I think, knowing your stuff, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Loyalty, maybe that dog's named Old Shep. This guy's in a bad way. He doesn't have a whole lot to offer, but that dog's there for him, and then you got the backstabber. And boy, there are all kinds of examples in the Bible of that. By the way, courage, be of good courage, be strong and of good courage, for the Lord God, He it is that will go with thee. Knowledge, study to show yourself approved. Loyalty, I love this, Ruth, entreat me not to leave you. I will go with you. Even Esther. Here she is risking it all for her people so that they won't be killed. And the E, endurance. I love that picture of that lighthouse just battered by the waves, and then you got the flower that wilts, and you just don't have the stamina. You don't have the spiritual stamina or the physical stamina. Well, those are the sorts of things that the Marines teach, and I think there's overlap with the Bible, but it's not just discipleship training because we've got an H there, and the H is humility. And you don't want to strut. And we're going to read about that today. So this is the Marine version. Let's look now, and let's stand and read it together. And you'll see there's overlap. Begin with me. Therefore, as a fellow elder and witness to the sufferings of the Messiah, and also a participant in the glory about to be revealed, I exhort the elders among you, shepherd God's flock among you, not overseeing out of compulsion, but freely according to God's will, not for the money, but eagerly, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. In the same way, you younger men, be subject to the elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your cares on him, because he cares about you. Okay, be seated, please. And let's go back to the first scripture slide. And I'm just going to walk through this today. I've got, yes, a little show and tell here, but bear with me. The third word in the whole letter is apostle. He identifies himself as an apostle. That is, one who followed Jesus. He works miracles, he raises the dead, he writes scripture. His authority starts. But here he says, as a fellow elder. So he's kind of going to get down off his horse and said, let's just talk among us girls here. You know, this is our challenge. This is our plight. And he says, this applies to me too. And he says, by the way, I was witness to the sufferings of the Messiah. So he was there. He was in Gethsemane. He saw the cross, if he wasn't hiding out, you know. But he saw that. He was a participant in the glory about to be revealed. Most commentators say this has to do with the transfiguration, you know, when he's up on the mountain and Jesus' glory is revealed. So he says, listen, I've got authority here. And I'm not just some guy wandering in out of the desert telling you, listen to me. I exhort the elders among you, shepherd God's flock among you, not overseeing out of compulsion, but freely, according to God's will. Some commentators say this is like the older guys, just the older gentlemen in the church. Some say those are office holders as elder. And by the way, it's interesting, in this kind of thing, you have like the overseeing, you know, like epi is like epidermis means outside, and then scopos is scope it out. The Greek word episcopos is outside or over, scoping it out. The overseer, episcopos, from which you get Episcopal Church, right across the road here, right? And then, believe it or not, the British, who can turn Worcestershire into Worcestershire, came up with bishop out of episcopos. I don't know how, but they're Brits, okay? But anyway, that's the word where the word bishop comes. And then he says he's a shepherd, and so we have like a pastoral setting is one where shepherds do their thing. So there's a lot of interesting discussion over what's interchangeable with what and whether. And by the way, presbyteros is a word for elder, like Presbyterian, you know. In fact, when I had an eye exam when I turned 40, the doctor said, okay, we're going to need a new prescription here. He says, typically around age 40, and then maybe at age 70, there's a change. You kind of drop off the shelf a little bit. And he said, you've got, I think it was presbymyopia. I thought, wow, I mean, what have I got, 6 months? Or I mean, it means old eyes. Okay, presby. So the old guys, the overseers, the pastors, whether they're interchangeable or not, interesting things about ecclesiology, we won't go there. But anyway, he says, I exhort the elders, shepherd God's flock. Do you remember when Peter denied Jesus and then later Jesus said, do you love me? Do you love me? You know, or this sort of thing. He primed him and then he was embarrassed. And what did he say? Feed my sheep, right? And so he says, look, I've been told to be a shepherd too. Not overseeing out of compulsion, but freely according to God's will. Who oversees out of compulsion? I tell you what, there's a fair amount of talk in the preacher crowd about, I mean, we use the word surrender. I surrender to preach, you know. And I watch some blogs, but it seems like there's a lot devoted to just how hard it is to be a minister and a minister's wife, you know. Oh, it's lonely. Oh, it's tough. And so, yeah, you ought to work like for the Marines one weekend. You know, you ought to work for Monsanto or something. I mean, it's hard out there. And yes, there are challenges. But listen, he says, don't be a martyr like, oh, I had this great career. I was doing this and having a great time. And then I surrendered to preach. I surrendered to church leadership. And now I just walk around like a martyr. Oh, Lord, how long? It's the coolest thing in the world to be that. I mean, of course, it's hard. But it's like, don't be a whiner. Yes, I'm in the ministry. Oh, here we go. It's Monday. You know, all right. I know you've never seen anybody like that. By the way, don't call anybody like that. But I'm saying there really is a kind of martyrdom where like we're just putting it out there. And no, I think just like being a hod carrier in Somalia is tougher than that. You know, chin up, Jack, all right? So don't do that. And then he says, well, not for money, but eagerly. Listen, don't treat ministry or service in the church or staff work or something like a gig. You know, hey, I got to have a gig, man. Things are tight. Hope some church calls me so I can get a gig. It's not a gig. It's a holy calling under God. And I'm not just talking about pastoring a church. I'm talking about being a Sunday school teacher or a choir member. It's not just like a stepping stone or cashing in on something. It's like, I just have been reading the biography of Peter Marshall. Do you know A Man Called Peter, written by Catherine Marshall? And all his stuff about his calling and how he was just gobsmacked by God's leading, and he ended up going to America and digging ditches in New Jersey and burning his hands in a foundry so that he had a better chance to get a ministerial education. And it wasn't like, hey, if I leave Scotland, I can really step up in America and get this kind of good deal. And hey, man, you know, there's some money in this sort of thing. Look, I had this guy. I was teaching at Midwestern. I was teaching a D-Men seminar in St. Louis, and it was an ethics seminar. And one guy said, look, they told me, I was in a little church, they told me that if I got a Master of Divinity, then I could step up and get a better deal. And that didn't work out. And now I'm working on this Doctor of Ministry, and it doesn't look like anything's opening up either. I thought, look, shame on you for thinking that way. And are you crazy to put that in an ethics paper for a seminary prophet? I mean, wow, I think I know why. I mean, you're a knucklehead, you know? And by the way, God bless service in a small church. One of the dearest times I ever had was in little Stover, Missouri, when I was between seminary and my first full-time church. Listen, it ain't for the money. It's not for the gig. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being in samples or examples. It says in samples, I think, in the King James. Not strutting about and acting as though. Look, even the Marines know that. I mean, look, we would laugh out loud at some guy who would show up at ROTC with, he'd have an ascot on. You know, you think, well, do you need a little riding crop too to strut around? I mean, get off your high horse. There is a place. You're not on your high horse if you're a minister, appropriately. Don't lord it over people, but you're an example to the flock. Look, I found this at home. I thought, this is not a bad example. When we were in infantry school, when you go into Infantry Hall at Fort Benning, Georgia, there is a statue that is huge. I mean, I think it's like 20 feet tall, of this guy. And you have a patch that matches it. He's saying, follow me. That's what you wear. In other words, we're training officers not to say, okay, you guys get organized, get your gear right, here's where you're going to go, here's your map, here's your objective. Okay, you know, go ahead, be good. Be impressive. What does it say? It says the true leader gets out of the trench and he looks back and he says, follow me. Be an example. I had this in seminary. I was in a church where the guy says, look, we need to have more evangelism. We had like 700 on Sunday morning. It wasn't my church. I was an attendee. And we had like 7 baptisms in the year. He says, listen, I mean, he kind of said, that's not quite my thing. I was in an elevator. I saw a guy witnessing. That's not my thing. But you guys do that. We need more baptisms. Oh, what a turkey. We're supposed to be examples. Like, follow me. Let's go out and share the faith. And you're supposed to share the risks. I mean, I got a couple other little things here. You know, you got the dog tags. Look, you go out where you have to wear these things. These are covered with plastic so they don't bang when you walk and give away your location. But basically, this means you can get killed. These dog tags aren't like, you know, at the party where you have your ID. Oh, hi, Bob. You know, how's things going? No, it's like when you are like burned up and all they have are dental records or whatever, they can say, oh, this was Mark. You need to be the sort of person who has to wear dog tags because you could get whacked. You could get whacked going to on these mission trips. And you need to be out there ready to do it. And by the way, you need to have your bandage, your surgery, your sanitary dressing, camouflage. By the way, I like the way they put the noun first, dressing, first aid, field, camouflage, 7.5 by 8. That's the way the Army says it. You carry this thing because you might need it. You might need it. And then, by the way, you also need to be able to have an OD patch because you got to wear it out where you could get hurt and you don't want to give your position away. So to be an example, it's like a player coach. You know, I'm going to be on the court, but I'm playing, but I'm coaching as well, player coach. Those in ministry need to be player coaches and not just, you guys go out and be wonderful, all right? And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. That's when you're going to get your glory. Don't insist on your glory here. By the way, Greek fans, what's the word here for crown is Stephanos, from which we get Stephen. And it's kind of the award that you get in the Olympics, or it's some sort of thing they put on you for the victory. What's the other kind of crown? It's the one of royalty that you just kind of inherit or you're chosen. Here's a hint. Put on the royal diadem in Greek. That's the king's crown. This is the Stephanos crown, the victory crown. And you're going to get that. Now let's go to the rest of the passage. And in the same way, younger men be subject to the elders. And all of you close yourselves with humility toward one another because God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. It's funny, elders kind of an office in some respects, but this seems to suggest it's even a generational sort of thing. Do you remember the first time you were called sir? You know, I don't know, you're like at McDonald's or something saying, thank you, sir. Like, sir? I mean, am I an old guy now? I don't know what that age is where you start calling people sir or they start calling you sir. But he says there is an entirely appropriate kind of deference and cooperation to those who are older than you. And he just, some people say, look, I mean, codger, look, you're half dead. We're high speed, low drag. We insist that all the movies have like action figures and cartoons, you know, or something like thoughtful, deep conversations. We don't want that, you know, we're 15 years old, drop dead, you know, so Hollywood's cranking it out. It's just like, it's the youth culture, the people who are spending and stuff, let's just pander to them. And he says, slow down there a little bit. I mean, the Bible honors those whose hairs are as gray as the snows on Mount Hermon, you know. I mean, you learn a few things if you've been around. I didn't like this when I was, I guess I was in seminary age 30, and someone says, You don't really quite know how to preach until you're about 50 or something like that. Now, I don't think that's true. I mean, I was a preacher in mid-30s, and I thought I was getting after it. But the point is, there's a lot to be said for the wisdom of those who have been around for a while and have been tested, who've had that rite of passage. Every once in a while, on our little street in Evanston, we'd have a car just racing by, boy, just cars parked close and kids playing on bikes and stuff and racing by. And you think, that's a young driver. Why is it a young driver? Because they haven't been scared to death yet by almost hitting someone. You know, they haven't figured out that people open their car doors without warning or kids dart out and stuff. You get terrified a few times like that, and then you drive better. You're less of, to use a technical term, a moron, all right? And so he says, listen, be subject to the elders. You don't have to obey them in everything. I mean, there's some old fools too, but the default position should be one of respect. And clothe yourself with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. I mean, you know, you just know sometimes when people are really full of themselves and proud, it's almost as though they're being teed up. And God said, I'm going to drive that sucker down the fairway here, you know. He just, so, boom, he enjoys that. Enjoy that, you know. He says, be very careful. God doesn't like people who are proud and boastful and braggy. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time. Look, let me say this. There is a place to rehearse your credentials. I mean, when they're undermining your ministry, look, go back and read 2 Corinthians, where Paul is under attack and criticism, and he would say things like, listen, I was in the sea, I was beaten up, you know? And then he gets sarcastic. I once had a lady write SBC Life when I edited that and said, you know, it's never right for Christians to use sarcasm. Oh, well, poor Paul. He used it sometime. He said, look, I'm not hot stuff like some of your favorite dudes here, but I'm just kind of going along. But anyway, he rehearses his credentials, and yet he didn't lord it over people. Look what Peter did. He's an apostle. He's got all the credentials. And you know what he does? He refers to two times when he made a fool of himself. And everybody knew it. And in fact, John Mark wrote up the preaching of Peter in Mark, the book of Mark. And in this, he says, I was witness to the sufferings of Christ, you know. Yeah, how did you do? I denied him, you know, and made a fool of myself. Okay, and everybody knew it. And then he says, how about on the Mount of Transfiguration, and here's Elijah and stuff. And Peter, it says, Peter did not know how to respond, and so he just blurts out, let's build three tabernacles. I think he said, let's just camp on the mountain and sing kumbaya. And then it's like, sit there, Peter. And then we move on. He acts like a clod in a lot of settings, and he brings it up. Even while he's saying, I was there, these are my credentials, but you all know I've not been really great every time. You know, and in fact, shepherd sheep, he had to tell me again and again, feed my sheep. So it's a mixture of things. You're not strutting, but if you rehearse your credentials, it is in a sense to strengthen your message, you know. And then humble yourselves and God will exalt you. Boy, how about that? We're going to have a time when we're going to get exalted. Anybody been exalted? Boy, I have. Let me show you this. This is so hot. I joined late in the season as a point guard for the L.M. Goza Junior High Beavers, Arkadelphia, Arkansas, and I got a letter. It says junior, one, two. I averaged 2 points a game, and at the end of the season, the coach, I don't know why, wistfully said, you know, I was kind of hoping when we got you on board, we'd do better. I don't say that, junior high guy. But when I got my letter, and by the way, we were the District 7A runner-up. District 7A, this is like A, you know? You go up to AA, AAA, you know, the big guys, Little Rock Central, Little Rock Hall, AA, Camden, A. I don't know. I think like if there were B, it was like three guys with a flag or something. I don't know what it was. But 7A, it was like the Prescott Curly Wolves, the Gurdon, Arkansas Go Devils, that's a railroad tool. It's on Ashdown, Mena, all out through the sticks. I got my little letter jacket at some kind of break. Had that there, man. It was warm in that school. I walked into that Miss Gray's English class wearing my jacket. Bad to the bone, man, you know. Pathetic. But I tell you what, I was really proud. I was really happy. And I think Billy Graham's going to be exalted more than I am, but I want to tell you what, it don't take much to give me a thrill, you know? And then I got this band mail, second band Allstate, Arkansas. This isn't like in the shadow of Juilliard. This is like Arkansas. I love Arkansas. I really do. I admire Arkansas. It's where the question is, if we get a divorce, will she still be my cousin? You know, we were always thanking God for Mississippi, because on the incidence of hookworm or illiteracy, they were always 50. You know, we'd be 49, but thank you for Mississippi. So anyway, Arkansas is really a wonderful place. They make jokes about Kentucky too. But here's my second band. By the way, you know who else got this ribbon that year? Bill Clinton. He was in the same band, played tenor sax, and I played trumpet. But man, did I feel like the grandest tiger in the jungle. God gave me a little ribbon. And then I went to Ouachita Baptist University and earned a couple of letters. This is tennis. I got one in swimming. In tennis, I was the fourth man on a team. I wasn't much. Boy, I wasn't much. But my swimming one, we had the people who could really do stuff like butterfly, and they were on the relay team and breaststroke and so forth, backstroke. And the rest of us just kind of didn't drown. That was our deal. So there were two plotters, and it was Quincy Grigson swam the 1,000. I swam the 500-yard freestyle, which is the only style I knew. And, you know, the guys who do the flip turns, I just kind of get the deal and turn around and go. I mean, it wasn't, I tried it, but I wasn't much. And so we would compete. And I remember the 500 free. The world record in that time was something like 448, I think, or 430 by Don Scholander. And I was more like 8 minutes or something. When I finished the race, guys who had been in the race were in the student center having Cokes, you know, and I was still in the water. But there was a disciplinary problem. One of the guys on the, I guess it was the 400 relay, 100-yard, four guys doing 100-yard. And anyway, he did something wrong, so the coach threw him off the team right there in the middle of the state meet. And he said, Coppinger, go in. So I swam a leg on this and didn't disgrace the team, and somehow we got 1 point in the state for that race in the state deals. And so I got a letter. I got the letter, baby. Now listen, that's not a considerable thing, but we just had a guy in my class who is admitted to the Pro Football Hall of Fame named Cliff Harris, who's a free safety for the Dallas Cowboys for years with Charlie Waters and those guys. And he got one of these too, you know? I mean, not this. He got this. So I think, yeah, I'm a Ouachita letterman, you know? Hardly, pathetically, Hendricks could just kill us. And yet, I was thrilled that I got my little letter. Listen, I don't know how he's going to exalt you. I don't know how many, quote, crowns you have. I don't know what kind of glory you're going to get. But I want to tell you what. You be faithful to this. It's going to blow your mind. You're going to wear your little glory jacket around heaven, I think. Just say, I'm on the same team with Paul. You know, he's got one of these. I just know it's going to be wonderful. You'll get in your proper time. Listen, when I taught at Wheaton, we would have celebrity kids in class. There's a guy named Ron Richardson who graduated. His daddy was a Yankee infielder named Bobby Richardson. And so at graduation, they'd have the celebrity parents like lead a prayer or something up there. And I'm thinking, that's great. Bobby Richardson, a strong Christian. But you know what? I bet there's a lady here who's widowed or divorced who had to take in ironing to get enough money together to pay the way for the kid to pay his fees at Wheaton. And you kind of think, wouldn't it be great if she were up there? But God said, relax. Put Bobby Richardson up there. But in due time, the proper time, ma'am, let me tell you how awesome this was. Nobody knew who you were, but here's your letter. Casting all care on him because he cares about you. It's hard to do this. It's like, wait a second. The way I lead is by intimidation. Now look, you have, the church is a special thing. He's talking about the church. He's not saying if you're a centurion, do just like this. He's not saying if you are manufacturing purple dye in Smyrna or something, everything has to be just like this. But he says, in the church, you may think, listen, my deal is to be decisive, terrifying, insulated, because it just makes the people snap and stuff. And he says, and I can't do this humble thing. Guys, you know, self-effacing and all right, let's listen to what you have to say. He said, no, that's not going to work. And then you've got the young guys, and even like a pastor say, okay, this is my church, and it's my canvas on which I'll express myself. And he says, no, it's actually not your church. It's the Lord's flock. You know, and so it's not just a canvas to express yourself. Of course, each pastor has his style and imprint, and I mean, that's Each scripture writer has a style and imprint. But the point is not to give me or Rich or, you know, David a place to just express ourselves and to just get our thrills. The thing is, we are supposed to serve you. Whoever's coming is supposed to serve you. Now, again, servant doesn't mean like, okay, we'll just wait till everybody agrees with what I'm doing. And are y'all everybody happy? No. This is decisiveness. This is apostolic ministry. This is according to the word of God. This isn't a fainting flower. But he does it with a spirit of shepherding and not lording. And then, let's say the young person says, hey, yeah, right. I got to be authentic. If I'm supposed to say yes, sir, and then cooperate and be friendly and stuff, that's not me, man. I got to be me. I got to have a breakout year. You know, I got to whatever. I got to pursue my passion. You know, passions are good. Breakout years are good. But you know what I'm saying? Why should I listen to him? It ain't going to work. And God says, I know this goes cross-grain with some of you guys. Peter says, listen, he cares for you, right? He wants it to work out for you, right? God committed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved you before you were worth loving. That's the God who saved you by grace. So just take a deep breath. And don't worry about money gigs. Don't worry about being hotshot. Everybody thinks you're the coolest dude in the world. Think about shepherding the sheep, loving them the way the great shepherd shepherded you. And it's really going to work out. I don't know about that. Hey, casting your care, don't sweat that. He cares about you. And yet people just say, I can't take that step. People even do that to salvation. Oh man, if he's my Lord, it's going to rearrange my situation. Yeah, for the better. Every once in a while, I get frightened because I go to a door and there's no handle and it's closed. You know, it's like, I'm going to smack my face on that glass. I said, no, continue to walk. Still closed. This ain't going to work. And you do it, and you are, and then it parts. And a lot of people spend their lives in the church, in the faith, just waiting for the door to open, for it to be easy. And he says, no, you step out this way, trusting that the next thing, the next thing, the next thing, and the next thing may be smaller, great. Maybe bigger, maybe the same, maybe famous, maybe infamous, who knows? But he cares for you. He cares for you. And so when we say, let's sing I Surrender All or whatever, it's like, it's not like a trick, like, hey, step into Jesus. Step into this respect for people. And it's, you're going to be kind of a loser. No, this, you may not be a winner on earth, but you're going to be a winner when the exaltations happen, when the glory happens. What more can I say? Peter says it. Let's stand, and we're going to sing a invitation, hymn, and I'll just be down here. And if you want to say in front of people, I'm going to step out today, and I'm going to identify with Christ, I have no idea what that means. You're right, but it's going to be good. It's going to be good here. It's going to be good there. So David, lead us, you will. I'll be down front. We'll sing a few stanzas. You come if you want to make public a pronouncement, a decision. Nail it down in front of people. That gives you accountability. Hey, I figured it all out. You know. By the way, did you see they submitted to God? It said, submit yourself to the Lord. My wife had a meal with someone not that long ago, and she doesn't go to church. She said, no, I'm a Christian. I just am not in a church. I'm like, no, that's not submitting to God. God said, forsake not the gathering yourselves together. Forget surrendering just to old guys and old ladies. You know, you surrender to the Lord. That's a big deal, but he cares for you.